The Atlantic whitefish is Atlantic Canada's most critically endangered species, only found here in Nova Scotia. To protect them from extinction in 2018, Dr. Paul Benson, a Dalhousie University biology professor, brought the 25 fish to be looked after at the Aquatron Laboratory. We go to the Aquatic Research Facility and speak with aquarium manager John Batt to ask him all about Noah's Ark, the fish conservation program.
Can you tell us a little bit about Noah's Ark project?
Yeah, Noah's Ark's a term that's sort of fallen onto the Aquatron for our fish conservation program. So we have the last and only captive population of Atlantic whitefish.
So can you tell us a little bit about the process? How did you start protecting the whitefish? Which year did you begin?
So we in the Aquatron started in 2018. We were sort of returning to the project. Dr. Paul Benson in the biology department had been involved with Atlantic whitefish research for several years, back about 10 years ago. And in 2018, he learned that the Department of Fisheries might be returning 25 captive fish back to the wild, and we were concerned that they may not survive in the wild. So he sought permission from the Department of Fisheries to move those fish here to the Aquatron, and that's how I got involved.
We speak with Paul Benson, the Department of Biology professor whose area of research is genetic fish. He's also had a lot of interest in conservation biology of fishes and has combined the two, the genetics and the conservation research, which he says go together quite well.
Tell us a little bit about how the Saving the Whitefish project started.
Well, I've been interested in this species for many years. I've had students do, you know, graduate research on it. But the recent phase, you know, that led to the captive breeding happened almost by accident in 2018 in the fall. It turned out that DFO, you know, Fisheries and Oceans, had some baby whitefish that they had captured in the remaining habitat. You know, so they sampled them as very small babies in the spring, and they brought them to this facility to grow them over the summer, and they grew really well. And then I get a phone call. I was in a meeting in the steel building from Paul Withers, or it was an email saying that we need to talk. And he had interviewed the director of the Bedford Institute. So this is again DFO, and it had just kind of come out by accident that they were going to dump those now healthy, you know, what juvenile fish, you know, these things that had grown from being tiny, tiny fish to sort of 20 centimeter, 4 inch long, healthy fish. And they were gonna put them back in a lake that is overrun by invasive predatory fish. So it is basically, you know, we grew them, we fattened them up. I mean, that wasn't their intent, you know, to make food for the invasive predators, but that's what it was looking like, that they were abandoning them, which that's true. So I thought this was terrible. Then I thought I should call the scientific director at the Bedford Institute and talk about this. So I did. And in the call, I said, "But what if we took these fish at Dal?" And then he said, "You would do that?" I said, "Sure." At this point, I had talked to no one. I had no idea if we had space in the Aquatron. I had no approvals from the university. It's just like, you know, had to move on this. And a while later, he called back and said, "Okay, you know, you can have them." And those fish grew up and made a lot of eggs this winter, which have turned into baby fish, some of which are being released back into the wild habitat right now. And with more breeding, you know, planned for the future. So the plan is to have a captive stock of breeding fish at the Aquatron that will produce thousands of juvenile whitefish that can be used either to support the original remaining population or to introduce them to new locations.
And Dr. Benson, I want to know, what is the reason this whitefish species is almost extinct? Why are they endangered?
Oh, it's a litany of threats and insults that have been inflicted on them. So when they were first known to science, they were already down to just two river systems in Nova Scotia, and not even adjacent river systems. They were in the Tuskett River in southwestern Nova Scotia, and then in the Petite Riviere near Bridgewater. So tiny range and not even contiguous, like it was disjunct in two little pieces. And by the 1980s, the Tuskett River population vanished. And the reasons for that are thought to be, again, a shopping list of threats. Invasive predators, which really started out in that area, Nova Scotia, dams without proper fish passage for the Atlantic whitefish, because these are fish that want to migrate to sea. They were born in freshwater, they have a salmon-like life history. So they breed in freshwater. The young fish babies want to go to sea for a while, then come back as big fat adults and spawn again in freshwater, and that's the cycle. But they had no proper fish passage in the Tuskett River. So they had the predators, they had the dams without fish passage. They had that area of Nova Scotia also has the most acidic water from acid rain problems. So that may have played a role as well. Whatever the cause, they were gone from the Tuskett by the early 1980s. And we were down to just the one remaining population, which ironically, I mean, I just told you that this fish wants to go to sea, but the surviving population has been trapped behind dams for about a century. So there are three interconnected lakes. They are the water supply for the town of Bridgewater, and they all have dams kind of regulating their water levels. And there was no fish passage, but the species managed to hang on in these lakes, basically completing its entire life cycle in freshwater. So even though we are pretty certain they wanted to go to sea, and in fact, many might have, because they're, one going down below the dam as a one-way trip was certainly feasible. A fish could make that trip just over the top and down. They could never come back. So the surviving population was a freshwater population.
Where else do the Atlantic whitefish exist besides those?
Nowhere else on the planet. Yeah. So the global range of Atlantic whitefish is currently 16 square kilometers of semi-natural freshwater lake near Bridgewater.
And Dalhousie has the last of them.
We have there are still some fish in the wild, because every year there's monitoring at the lakes. And the adults are almost never seen because they are so scarce. They are literally being eaten alive by the predators that have moved into the habitat. It's smallmouth bass and chained pickerel that are voracious predators not native to Nova Scotia that are the problem. But every year they monitor the lakes, and they set up traps to collect baby fish, and they get a few babies every year. So, and those babies now come to Dalles. They go to the Aquatron.
Benson said it's an enigma how these fish came to Nova Scotia in the first place.
Most of our sort of endemic species in Canada, and endemic means only found in one location, are really closely related to other things. Like they may have evolved since the ice ages in the last 10,000 years or the last million years or so, not 14 million years ago. That is a huge span of time. So the fish is a real enigma. Like, where has it been all this time? Where you're sitting and where I'm sitting was under a kilometer or two of ice, 14,000 years ago. They weren't here. That's a safe bet at that time. Where were they during the ice ages? Where did they move to, and why aren't they found in other places? Other species that lived here in Nova Scotia, they were all displaced by the ice as well, but we know what happened to them. They kind of got pushed south, and then they recolonized when the ice went away. So if Atlantic whitefish was like one of those, why aren't they in New Brunswick or Newfoundland or Maine? Why did they only end up here?
Interesting. And how is Aquatron taking care of these fish?
So I don't know, have you ever been in the Aquatron?
Yes.
So did you see the fish?
Yes, I did. I had.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're one of the few people on the planet who's seen this. It's a short list of people who've seen the species.
Today was my first visit to the Aquatron lab. let's ask Dalhousie University Aquatron Manager John Batt just how big these aquariums are and how many fish can fit here in this research facility.
And you said this is the biggest lab. Aquatron is the biggest lab owned by a university. How big are the labs? How big are the aquariums?
Yeah, so we have a 700,000 liter tank. We have three 300,000 liter tanks. We have a tower tank, which is 34 feet deep. And then we have 17 different wet labs from the size of my office, about 11 feet by 12 feet, up to 900 square feet in size. So a huge range. And we can work in freshwater, we can work in saltwater, we can work anywhere in between that. We can heat the water. So we've created like tropical conditions in the winter, and really hard to do, but we've done it, created Arctic conditions in the summer.
And let's say around, give me an estimate, how many fish would fit in all these tanks about?
We've had anywhere between a few hundred by times, because it's always changing. The most we've ever had on site at any one time is 350,000.
And let's talk a little bit about the fish. So where does the Atlantic whitefish survive?
So the last known population of Atlantic whitefish is in the Hebb Lake, Petite River area down near Bridgewater. In fact, the Hebb Lake is the source for drinking water for the town of Bridgewater. So it sort of has some special protection in that area because it's a drinking water lake.
Okay, and do the whitefish only exist in Nova Scotia?
Yes.
Interesting.
Atlantic whitefish. So Atlantic whitefish is a species of whitefish. So the whitefish belong to the bigger family of salmon and trout. And what's really interesting is the Atlantic whitefish is a much older species of whitefish than many of the other whitefish species that live around the world. And some scientists think it may be an important link between the salmon side of the family and the whitefish side of the family. So evolutionarily, it's important.
Interesting. And how do you identify an Atlantic whitefish?
Oh, well, they look a bit like a salmon. So they have that same general form as a fish. They're long, narrow side to side, not too deep top to bottom. They're silvery throughout their bodies. Their backs are quite beautiful. They're sort of a green coloration with the edges of their scales are sort of black lines. So you have this beautiful black and green checkerboard pattern down their backs. And then they have big, big tail fins that have a bit of black coloration in them as well. They're really a beautiful fish.
And what other projects is Aquatron or is your organization working on?
Oh, we work on a lot of different projects. So the Aquatron's a really big aquatic research facility. It's the largest university-owned facility in Canada. We're working with the Faculty of Agriculture on some aquaculture projects. We work with Atlantic whitefish, obviously. We work with some external groups as well. So we're working with Parks Canada, the Highlands National Park. We bring small, tiny, tiny little 3-4 inch salmon here, and then we rear those until they're mature and ready to spawn, and then we take them back to the park and release them with Parks Canada in the park so they can spawn again up there.
So what's your favorite type of fish?
Oh my.
Or your favorite type of sea animal?
Oh, it's a really good question. I don't know if I have one favorite. There's so many sort of cool animals in the ocean. You know, we work with sea turtles and we work with sharks and we worked with cuttlefish and they're all special. And we work with Atlantic whitefish. And
Eric Reich is a Dalhousie University student who's doing his co-op training at Dalhousie's Aquatron.
So how long have you been working here, Eric?
So I've been working here for about a year now. I started in August.
And tell us about your involvement in the Atlantic Whitefish Project.
Yeah, so I've been, for the hatching at least, I've been here from the beginning. So they started to produce eggs around, I would say, like February. And I've been working with them since December. So, yeah, since from egg until now.
And what made you join and want to be a part of this project?
I thought it was really, really cool, giving back to the world, essentially.
And tell us a little bit of your everyday work. So how exactly do you take care of these fish?
At the moment, it's really just cleaning tanks and feeding, making sure their oxygens are at kind of a stable level. Very easy, 7 feedings a day with pellets.
We also speak with Michael Martino, who's the animal care technician for Aquatron and also a recent DAL graduate.
And you're also a DAL graduate, Michael. So what did you study here?
I studied marine biology here at DAL and concentrated a lot in aquaculture in my later years.
And tell us about your involvement with the Noah's Ark for Whitefish project.
I'm actually relatively new to being involved here full-time at the Aquatron. I only started about a month ago. So as an animal care technician, they do have me monitoring just all your parameters on the whitefish. So we check oxygen daily, we feed them, we keep their tanks clean, and we inspect each fish and make sure that they're healthy and they're not showing any signs of disease or damage.
And as an animal care technician, tell us a little bit about your everyday work. Like, what do you take care of? What do you tend to?
It's a lot of cleaning, feeding, and looking at the basics of how to keep fish alive in tanks. It's your water flow, temperature, oxygen. That's the formula for life for fish anyways.
And why did you choose this major? Why is it important to you?
Oh, I'm a fish guy. Ask anyone, I'm a very fishy individual. I've always loved anything and everything that swims, and to be involved in any kind of scientific research from your small scale quantitative and qualitative assessments to your large farm grow out systems, it's all interesting.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Michael?
I think any DAL student should take the opportunity to come and check out the Aquatron if they can, because it's very unique to the university and it kind of sets this place apart from other institutions.
Sarah Aguda, CKDU.